The Stanley Cup Finals get going this Monday night as the Boston Bruins host the St. Louis Blues, and we'll bring you all the action beginning at 7:45 here on your flagship station for the Stanley Cup Finals. The Fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Alrighty, folks, 7:42 here on this Friday evening. It's JJ Jastrzemski with you right here on The Fan. And this poor guy is probably so sick of my face and so sick of my voice because he had to do television with me for the last 4 days. And I figured, perfect time to have him on. He has an off night before he can enjoy a little New York City. The NBA is hopping with the Eastern Conference Finals, with the Knicks thinking about the summertime. And we welcome in my fellow panelist from The Thread. Check him out on the Action Network. His Twitter is a sensation. Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob. He joins us, Tux, some NBA basketball. Wob, my boy. How's it going?
It's a little weird talking to you over the phone, I'm not going to lie.
I was going to say, what's better, hearing me on the phone or actually looking at my crazy hand gestures in my face over a half hour?
Yeah, there's no running when you're right in front of my face. But you know what? We could do this on radio, too.
So, there we go, Wob. And I appreciate a couple of minutes, my friend. Let's start first here. Eastern Conference Finals. Milwaukee wins the first two games of this series. Then you see Toronto not only storm back and win two games at home, but they go on the road and they're gutty and they come from behind. And Leonard is the better player in the series over Giannis Antetokounmpo. So how surprised are you, my friend, that the Toronto Raptors have now gone out and won three consecutive games in this series?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that they're up 3-2. I'm just more surprised of how it's happened, because when they went down 2-0, it looked like they were left for dead, right? This Raptors team, all playoffs, has really missed their bench, and that was probably their pride and joy throughout the regular season, was that they could brag and say, we have 11 guys on our team that could start for any NBA squad out there right now. And between Fred VanVleet, Norman Powell, Jeremy Lin, Serge Ibaka, they just kind of disappeared in the Magic series and in that Sixers series as well. But what we saw from Fred VanVleet, who had the best game of anyone last night, these last two games with Norman Powell stepping in and being that primary secondary scorer, opposite of Kawhi Leonard, they've really sunk their claws, you know, a little bit of a pun intended there, into the Milwaukee Bucks. And when I say that to you, JJ, what I mean is they're controlling the pace. That's what the Bucks have done all year. That's why they're so efficient. They play this pace and space. They run their lanes. They're able to execute in transition unlike anyone, including the Warriors, in the NBA. And how the Raptors have countered that is they are making it a half-court game. They're turning every possession into a bayonet, foxhole, mud fight. And that's the way they want it, because they have five guys that they can switch on any screen. It's 1 through 5, from Kyle Lowry to Siakam to Leonard. They're switching everything. They're slowing the game down, and they're throwing double teams at Giannis Antetokounmpo in the post, waiting for him to catch the ball. Then they're sending it, so he has to pass every single time. It's these small adjustments that have really paid off for them, and the Bucks honestly can't figure it out.
Robbie, we've seen this with NBA teams in the past where they're coming onto the scene. They're going to have to deal with that adversity and losing a hard-fought late-round postseason series. So many different examples over the years, and I think we could be looking at one here for this Milwaukee team. But from a Game 6 perspective, Giannis aside, who, in your opinion, has to have the big game? Who is going to have to step up and give them that secondary source of scoring if they're going to force this series back for a Game 7?
Well, the answer is Chris Middleton, simply because he's the all-star that's running with Giannis, and they need him to play to an all-star level. But the X factor is Eric Bledsoe, who, coming into last night's game, was 11 of 45 from the field. That's not a typo. 11 of 45 for a guy that was, you know, first team all defense there, and was really the glue of how good this team was throughout the regular season. He has completely disappeared, and he's not good enough on defense to make up for how bad he's shooting. So when Giannis isn't able to be that nuclear weapon that he was for all those months, he's going to have to rely on Chris Middleton to create and make shots. Who's not doing it because they rely so much on Giannis? Then you go to Bledsoe. Bledsoe has not been that guy. So I'm going to really challenge Eric Bledsoe to stop having – it's not been a bad game. It's been a bad series. Like, he is invisible. And that's just unacceptable, because when you have Giannis going 1-on-4 and he's got Kawhi Leonard on him as one of those four, it's just not going to work in a 7-game series. We were asking the question, How do the Raptors score enough points to win this in a seven-game series? You have to do this 4 out of 7 times, JJ. Now we're asking the same thing about the Bucks. The narrative has completely flipped.
Rob, forget about a ratings perspective. I'm talking about a competitive standpoint. For the NBA Finals, who would give the Warriors a better series? Would it be the would it be the Milwaukee Bucks? Would it be the Toronto Raptors?
Before the series started, the answer was absolutely the Bucks, because they have home court advantage over the Warriors as well. And if you're playing Game 1 and Game 2 in Milwaukee with what we've seen from that crowd, and they have the power to out-Warriors the Warriors, I've said the only way to beat those guys is you have to play a different style of ball, because you're never going to beat them at their own game. The Bucks looked like they were good enough. And now that we're watching this transpire, this series go about, and the spotlight is on these guys, and Giannis at the foul line is having some serious Chuck Knobloch mental issues going on, I think the answer here is going to be the Raptors, simply because they have, between the Siakams, the Ibakas, the Leonards, they can switch everything onto Steph Curry. And if Kevin Durant's not out there, they have three monsters on the defensive side of the ball that can make his life an absolute living hell.
Worldwide Wob, Rob Perez, who joins me a ton on the thread over at SNY. You can check him out, the Action Network. He is a sensation on Twitter with the late-night NBA coverage. You never know what you're going to get from Wob. And Wob, throughout the week, we spent a lot of time talking about the dynamics of what this all-team NBA means for Kemba Walker. And $80 million, I don't care where you're playing, $80 million is going to be tough to turn down. I think we're going to agree on this. From a Knicks standpoint, the goal, the priority is probably going to be Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. But do you now look at this clause within Kemba Walker getting the Supermax, potentially getting $80 million more from Charlotte? Does that kind of give you the feeling that he's going to stay there for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, that's what just came down in the NBA yesterday, for those listening, is all NBA teams. And if you are one of the 15 players that makes the all NBA team, you can potentially qualify for a Supermax contract. You have to be with your team, and you have to be in your 8th, 9th, or 10th season in the NBA. There's a whole bunch of stipulations, but long story short, Kemba Walker qualifies. So now Charlotte can offer Kemba Walker, as JJ just said, $80 million more dollars. Unless he wants to go to another team, he has to turn that down. So in my eyes, there is absolutely no way he turns that down. Now Charlotte has to offer it. Like, they don't have to offer the Supermax. But let's say that they do. I don't know how he does that. Even to come back home and play in New York and in front of the Bronx where he's from, Rice High School, play in the Garden where he's made a name for himself, that is not worth $80 million. And let's remember that he took I'm speaking in terms of NBA payments here, he took a low contract coming out of his rookie season. He took a 4-year, $48 million extension, which equates to just $12 million a year. In NBA terms, for someone like Kemba Walker, he's making Timothy Mozgov money. He's making Luol Deng money. Of course he's going to want to get paid, because he's a star and he deserves it. So I think Kemba Walker in New York dream is dead.
Well, I'm gut feel right now. The Knicks moving the 3rd pick in the draft.
They won't move it on draft night. They'll certainly take R.J. Barrett if he's available to him, and then they're going to see what happens in free agency with Durant. So if Durant comes and brings Kyrie with him, all of a sudden you have a, not championship ready, but a playoff contender at Madison Square Garden. So what's the first thing you look at? Anthony Davis. And if we put enough guys together, can we go get Anthony Davis? So I don't know if the Knicks will do that on draft night, because draft night is before free agency starts. And it would be a little bit of a mistake, would be an understatement to say they're going to go out and get Anthony Davis before any of those free agents make a decision, because of what it's going to cost to get Anthony Davis that early in the season.
Okay, if it's not Anthony Davis, is there another potential trade target that you could see maybe finding his way to Madison Square Garden? I've heard the name Bradley Beal quite a bit. What's your take on him?
Bradley Beal's a nice player, but the Knicks have done, they've actually gone about things like great and good. They've built this young core of players between Knox, Mitchell Robinson, potentially R.J. Barrett. They have the Ntilikinas. They got the Triers. It's like, oh my God, the Knicks are actually doing things right for once. They're not giving out those contracts to Joakim Noah anymore. You are not moving 3 years worth of rebuilding, tanking, and good drafting for Bradley Beal. Because Bradley Beal in-house with just Kevin Durant, you are not winning an NBA championship with that, and you have to send the entire farm system to acquire him. So I wouldn't, is it a possibility? For sure. I don't want to eat my words here and say it's never going to happen. But if you're the New York Knicks, you have two options here. It's go all in with KD, Kyrie, and potentially Anthony Davis, or you get a big free agent in the house and you continue to develop these young guys who one of them hopefully down the road can be a franchise cornerstone.
Wob, what do you make of this Instagram post with Kyrie Irving in a Laker uniform and the King throwing a little bit of a like there? Is that going to be LeBron's number one target in free agency, trying to reunite with Kyrie?
It certainly appears that way. They were also seen at Nobu in Malibu that evening. And it was Kyrie and LeBron at dinner. They were at Hyde. I have to get my LA terminology right. They were out at Hyde together, and now LeBron is liking Instagram posts about him looking good in Lakers uniforms. It's here we go again, right? This is what happens around the July 1st. It never happens this early, though, because we're in May right now. Usually LeBron is going out there and doing his whole borderline tampering thing before the moratorium starts, and he's out here recruiting in May. So if they bury the hatchet between the two of them and it looks like that the exes want to get back together and know the divorce, it's certainly the momentum is headed that way based on just social media findings today.
Rob Perez, Action Network. And Wob, Kawhi Leonard's situation is so fascinating to me because he leaves San Antonio. Everybody pretty much thought it was a foregone conclusion that he'd be a Los Angeles Laker. Now the Clippers emerging. The Raptors are one win away from an NBA Finals appearance. If the Raptors go to the NBA Finals, do you think he's going to have it in him to basically say, you know what, we got to a final. I don't have unfinished business here. I want to take my talents to California. Or do I just say, you know, I'm with this team. I'm right there. We had a good thing going. How will the rest of this postseason, you think, influence Kawhi here in any way?
If anyone out there tells you they know what Kawhi Leonard is doing, they're straight up lying to you. There's two guys out there in the entire planet that know what Kawhi Leonard's plans are. And that's one of those is Kawhi Leonard. The other is the famous Uncle Dennis, who manages him. I don't know if he's technically his agent, but you know, deals with him directly. Those are the two guys that only really know. And he's such an anomaly, right? He's so different and he's so quiet that nobody knows exactly what his plans are. So all we can do here is interpret the information available to us. Kawhi Leonard on this Toronto Raptors team is arguably the best basketball player on earth. And I'm willing to say that after what we just saw in Game 5 in Milwaukee. He's in that conversation with Durant and LeBron as long as this team is constructed the way it is. So from a basketball standpoint, if you want to contend for a championship, the Toronto Raptors are right there. Like, hey, this is not potential. This is not ceiling. They're there. So if he wants to win, he should stay. And also financially, guess what? He gets an extra year while it's not a supermax. From Toronto. It makes a lot of sense to stay there. But this is Kawhi we're talking about, and he loves Southern California. He just bought an eight-figure mansion down in the San Diego area, and we know he loves living down there. Maybe he wants to play. So my short list of teams is the Raptors, the Clippers, and the Lakers, and I would be stunned if he chooses anything else.
Okay, Wob, before we let you go, final one for me, Durant. We know the Warriors can win an NBA title without him. We also know he's probably the best player in the world. He's right there. It's Kawhi Leonard. Take your pick. When and if we will see Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals, do you think it could have any negative impact? Obviously, Durant, we know he's great. We know he's all-world. But the Warriors right now have such a good thing going. The chemistry is there. The cohesion is there. Do you think his return in any way, if it's in Game 3 or Game 4 of the NBA Finals, could, dare I say, upset the apple cart?
Hey, Kevin Durant, to me, is the guy who wakes up on one side of the bed and just makes a decision for that day. So today, it could be, I'm going to the Knicks. Tomorrow, it could be, I'm going to the Clippers. And the following day, it could be the option, the dark horse option, which is I'm going to pick up my player option with the Warriors next year. I'm going to play one more season. I'm going to go to the brand new Chase Center in downtown San Francisco. I'm going to go win another title, and then we'll do this again next summer. So there are options abound. And do the finals, I think your question was, do the finals have any impact on what happens? Sure. If he ends up winning a third straight finals MVP, he goes into the category of Michael Jordan and Bill Russell, the only guys out there to ever do it. Does he want to go for the record? Has he checked the box in terms of, I went to Golden State to win rings, and that's it. Like, I did everything I came here to do. Now I want to go be a billionaire somewhere and restore my legacy as the greatest player on earth that people actually like. This is all just a bunch of words that are, we need to see how it plays out. And I don't know if anyone can truly answer that question until the finals are over, unless your name is Kevin Durant.
Wob, you're the best, bro. I appreciate a couple of minutes. You enjoy Game 6 on Saturday night. You enjoy a well-deserved Friday night out on the town. I mean, what a concept for you. No NBA basketball. Go get it, my friend.
I'm dying here, but I'm going to try and go out and socialize, and we'll see how this works. I'll report back to you.
That a boy. I'll be rooting for you. All right, Wob. Have a good weekend. All right, pal?
You too.
The good, great character that he is, Worldwide Wob, Rob Perez, my buddy over at the Action Network, and you see him all the time with me on the thread over at SNY.